Good morning, everybody. It is time to get up, rise and shine. Last couple of days of July, and then before you know it, we're into the last 4 months of the year, and then it goes like this. So let's go. It is also going to be a pretty awesome Wednesday because we've got a guest with us, someone called Celonia Becker, who's sitting here with me now. She could be either a beauty queen, TV presenter, MC, actress, any of those. Just take your pick. And she's our guest this morning. We're going to talk to her about a whole bunch of things. But it's nice to have you here.
Good morning, Gareth.
Yeah, how are you?
At the crack of dawn, we are here.
Yeah, dawn's crack.
Hey?
That dawn has got one hell of a crack, huh?
Correct.
Yeah. And she loves showing it off.
Gareth, thank you for having me.
What a pleasure.
I'm so excited to be here.
And
I look up to you, man. You're amazing. You've done everything too, ne?
Uh-oh.
Just like me.
Now you're putting pressure on me.
No.
I hate it when people say, I look up to you, because I always wonder. You know, I don't know. I don't look up to people that way. Maybe that's why it bothers me.
No, I think that you have a voice and you speak your truth, and not a lot of people do that. And people listen to you, Gareth, and that's the quality that I would like to develop myself.
Listen, we've all got to do that. Everyone has to, right? And what I find too often in South Africa, and thank you, I mean, that's kind of you to say, but I think too many people expect that I would consider that a compliment when actually – a lot of the time I get annoyed when people, not you in this case, but often people will say to me, oh, you know, it's so great that you say what you say and you're prepared to speak out against this and you're talking about stuff that all the rest of us are thinking, but we're too scared to say. And I kind of feel like saying to those people, what are you afraid of? You know?
Yeah, but I think you just have the platform. I mean, people are saying these things.
Everyone these days, come on, everyone doesn't everyone have a platform these days?
That's true. If you're brave enough to actually say that online, that's
it. Yeah, I wonder what people are so afraid of. It's like if you, and this is not some guru or life advice or motivational nonsense. It's like if you don't say what you think. And I mean, obviously, a lot of people are playing games, right? So they want to be friends with everybody. They want to get ahead in their career. I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
They need to be nice. So sometimes they'll go with the flow rather than say what they think. But I just feel like in the end, that wears you down.
Yeah.
And maybe because I can't imagine a world for me where I wouldn't be able to say what I think.
Yeah.
I always look at people who... they want to be like that, but they aren't. And all you have to do is switch it on.
Mm.
Like, everyone has it.
Mm. Mm.
So to me, it doesn't make sense. Like, why would you not switch that on? Mm. You know, it's like waking up in the morning and going, I think I will not wash before I go to work. I'll make it, I'll stink like shit and everybody else will have to deal with me. You know what I mean? I mean, instead of going, I want to wake up and do and say and be the person I really want to be.
Yeah.
What's the point of messing around?
I do think we have this in common. I did a reality TV show. I'm very Afrikaans, by the way.
You did that show, Op My Age.
Op My Age.
Okay, now that was, was this the guy who was looking for a girlfriend?
Yes, yeah.
The guy?
His name is Francois Jacobs. Okay. So I went on the show. I kind of knew him, right?
Who is he? Why don't I know him?
He's a South African actor.
Okay.
He does a lot of work. He's a funny guy. Yeah.
Okay.
He's a very nice, very charming,
so
interesting
guy. The premise of the show is he's looking for a wife.
For a wife,
not
yes.
for a girlfriend.
No, for a girlfriend.
For a
girlfriend. I don't think it's a wife. Yeah. So it's very much like The Bachelor, but the very Afrikaans version.
So you find
version.
A picture of this guy in case I might recognize him. Okay.
So I went on the show and I used to be.
Shut up, Siri. Sorry.
No.
You know, when your phone tries to take over, you're having a conversation with somebody. Sorry, Simone. How rude. How dare you?
No. Tell Siri I say hi. So I did movies and stuff before. I even studied drama at Stellenbosch. I bailed. At that young age, I couldn't handle this industry. I was too young.
Okay, what
it was
put
too
you
much.
Off?
Drama school. Drama school.
Are the people there irritating and it's just bullshit? Because my sister did drama for a couple of years before she, thank God, decided to become a lawyer.
I didn't think it had to be so therapeutic. Therapy.
It's also such bullshit,
right?
Yeah,
they didn't have to break you down for you to play a character. You're supposed to walk in there with confidence, you understand?
But she said they spent some of their classes like talking to trees and shit.
Yeah, but that's important. Those things are important. You have to boo the tree and the troll, and you have to, because you have to learn how to act. But
did you pay for your own studies, or did your parents?
No, my mom did.
Okay. Yeah, your poor mother. Can you imagine her shelling out those thousands of rands and you're talking to a tree?
Don't
you feel guilty?
Okay, but I do have a degree in graphic design. I've done a few other things.
Yeah, tree talking. She paid for that too.
I know. However, and they used to call me Kaiki because I have such a high voice. So anyway, so after that, I went to go study graphic design, which was a very good choice for me. But then I bailed. I was like, I honestly don't want to be part of this at all. And then I saw that he is doing a reality TV show, and I was like, let me just go do it because I'm going to learn so much about myself. Not that I wanted to make up with a guy on TV because I didn't. I'm the only girl on this whole show that never kissed the guy, you know.
Oh, that was lame of you. You could have at least got stuck in there.
I'm so glad that footage doesn't exist.
Really?
I'm so glad, yeah. But I went on the show and first of all,
is that a big deal? Like you seem to think that's a big deal.
If for a role, I would do it if you pay me and there's like a setup where I'm comfortable.
We wouldn't do it for some sad bachelor.
No, are you kidding? Kay. No.
All right.
But anyway, so I did the show and it was a lot. It was a lot. You're in a room full of girls that you're competing against to get the guy.
No, I've never understood that. It's like that other show that they have on, I think it's Bursuka Fro or something.
Yeah.
They do the same thing. They put all these poor women in the room together and Bachelor and all of those things, right? Yeah. They put these women in the room together. And then they basically say, this guy is going to choose one of you. The rest of you, he doesn't give a shit about. And just carry on. Just be friends. Now, I mean, if I'm competing with people for the duration of the competition, I can't be your friend.
100%.
But right? Would you want to have won?
No.
Would you have wanted to be the girl he chose?
No. Not at the time, it's weird. It's like you live in a bubble of all these girls. Yeah? It's like the outside world doesn't exist. But I got so put off by the – I don't actually want to talk ugly about it because it's actually an amazing show.
No, I want you to. I want you to be honest about that. You're not here to support them in PR, but you're also not here to lie.
The girls really wanted him. They really were in love with him. They really strive to be part of whatever world it is that he has, you know. And I learned so much about talking, about being myself, about talking to a camera, about looking back at the footage and be like, – oh my gosh, I'm so happy with who I am, proud of my choices. For me, it was media training.
Okay.
It really was an amazing experience. And to deal with so many emotions. And I was the wild card. Mm. So while I came in with a helicopter and all these girls didn't expect the blonde girl to come in. And they treated me like shit.
I'm sure.
Sorry. But
and I'm sure that most of the horrible treatment was off camera, right?
Yeah, no, it really was. So... and I survived it.
But let me understand, these other girls, they're serious about this. They're looking to hook up and to be in a relationship and or marriage. Yeah. It's like the girls who enter these other two shows we just spoke about. Mm. It's become like a placeholder for how to meet people because they just don't have the skills to actually go out and meet someone anymore and look someone in the eye and say, hey, you know, I find you kind of attractive. You seem like you've got your shit together. Mm. You've got a car. You got some money. You can take me out for a dinner. We can discuss actually interesting stuff. Mm. They can't do that. It's too much work. Rather, just put me on a show and I'll play a part so that I can hopefully have my dreams come true. It's like Disney has sold them some shit.
However, though, I do think that that platform and what comes with it after being on that show is a good thing because you learn so much. So many of these girls have started businesses after doing that show, have careers in talking and media,
really?
And social media. Yes.
What, just from appearing in a dating show?
Because they opened up their hearts. They were kind. They were moy. There were parts of them that actually came out on the show that were beautiful.
Hang on. We got to get into this a little bit because you've done like, Binnenlander,
yes.
You've done...
I was a weather girl on ENC, we have
you've
to talk
done
about
weather,
that.
The weather on TV, yeah. Which I believe weather girls are a huge asset that we've just thrown away. I love weather girls.
Oh
I think it's
gosh.
Massively important.
Thank you so
in fact, man. The most evolved countries in the world, you know, places like Italy, sophisticated Spain, Argentina, these have got beautiful women presenting the weather. Nobody gives a shit about the weather. You put a beautiful woman on the TV looking great and suddenly people care about the weather. Because you know what? You can get the weather from this now. You don't need some. So why make it a thing on TV? Because it gives you an opportunity to put a beautiful woman on TV.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now they have like just the screen with the temperatures on. Who except 90-year-old men gives a shit about that?
Look, it was an awesome opportunity.
But
and
sorry. I just don't want to lose my train
we
of thought.
We don't want to, we want to stay with.
You've done Ben and Lander's, The Weather. And you've done this TV show. I mean, this movie, this Blue Torn that we've got to talk about too. But what are these other, what businesses have they started out of media because they were on TV?
Influencing.
Oh, God. Okay.
I know. Right. I'm not an influencer, and that is something I'm quite proud of.
What are they're flogging people's shit online?
Yeah, they're just selling like hairbrushes and stuff, I suppose. My
God. That's not a career.
Okay, that's not a career. That is true. But I don't regret that show, and I don't regret who I was, because it started me in the right direction. You know, to where I am now. I went from Op My Eish to ENCA to Miss SA.
Yeah.
Gave me confidence.
So like, are you doing Miss SA?
Miss SA is going through some changes right now. The show might actually be postponed. And I'm quite sad about it because I'm 30 this year. It's my last year that I could have, you know, actually been part of the competition.
They're gonna can it, so keep you out.
But I am not your original beauty queen, Akis. I have tattoos. I'm wild and I'm weird. And it would have been cool to try. And I'm competitive, you know.
Uh-huh.
I really would have been... but anyway,
I just want to see these comments quickly. Judith says, good morning, Saloni is a pretty lady.
Wow, thank you.
Andrew says, where did she get that nightgown? I think she's very smart. She's dressed warmly. Amen. Make the weather great again, says Jason. So he agrees with you and me. Can she do the weather for us this morning, please?
Yes, there is a yellow level 2 warning.
No, wait, let's do this professionally.
Okay.
James, can you and Flex like work out a weather background and we do something, we move one of the cameras later in the show and she can actually do the weather for us? Yeah, figure that out in the meantime. Okay, then people are saying, yeah, she's awesome. That is not true, Gareth, says Congo Chris. Meteorology is interesting.
It is.
For your info, snow reports suggest that Pretoria might see some of the cold white stuff.
Yeah.
Really, today?
No, it's not what it said. The SA Weather Service didn't say this. There's a yellow, it's more rainfall. But over the weekend, there's a cold front coming on Monday. So that's...
Oh, yeah. And some... Yeah. Okay, here we are talking about the weather. I never thought I'd ever do this. Look what you've done. What if we replace Gareth with this pretty lady and we can keep the show 3 times a week, says Bitcoin Boot.
I'll come in on the other days if you need
okay.
me. I'll be here.
All right, very good. So how did you get into doing the weather? How does that happen? You don't have to be qualified.
I'm going to be honest.
Yeah.
It was a casting.
Oh.
But hear me out. When I got that casting, I was like, I'm doing this. I need this job. I'm getting this job.
Mm-hmm.
With a lot of things in my life, you know, somewhere in your brain, you're like, I'm going to do this.
Sure.
I will get this.
Yeah.
And it was one of those. So I wrote the script. They were like, okay, cool. You're going to come in. You're going to present the weather. You write your own script. And I did. I did a lot of research and I just went in and I did it. But afterwards, I knew I messed up a few times. So I emailed them. I was like, guys, listen, I can do this. I want this job.
Yeah.
I'm ready. And that kind of worked out for me. The hungrier you are, right?
So how long did you do it for?
6 months.
That's pretty awesome.
And everything about South Africa. I had to learn about all the provinces.
And you have to learn how to pronounce all the names.
Yeah, but I can do it. I can do it better.
You're the only person who's got that right. I still call it PE, and who cares about their weather?
But no, I respected the way of speaking. I respected the cities. I respected how big and beautiful South Africa is, and I love doing this.
But tell me how it would work.
Okay,
so you sit there, and do you have to get the...
No, so it's 6 a.m., it's live, right?
Okay.
So I was on the South African Morning, which is, I'm going to assume, one of the bigger shows on ENCA, with Masego Ratlaga and Dan Moyane and Dan Corder. So I walk in, I'm like, okay, lekker, I can do this. They have a whole map at the back. It's a real map. It's not a green screen map.
Okay.
And I read from the teleprompter, but the script is written by me. So I get my information from the South African Weather Service the night before and then the morning of, in case there's a change.
Right.
I go through the information. I make sure that I understand what I'm saying and can compartmentalize it, because I can't say everything.
No, sure.
I have 1 minute to... Firstly, we do warnings and then we do temperatures. And then I have 2 minutes later on to speak about all 9 provinces.
But hang on, did you have, during your 6 months, were there any huge weather events that fucked with people?
Oh, I love, you get, like, floods. I love that you asked me this. It was the most that it's rained in 30 years in South Africa in February.
Okay.
And I am the weather girl for it.
So when did this
really
contract
stressful.
End?
January. It was June. In April. It was end of April. And I started last year in November.
Have they put someone else on?
No.
They've
canned it. It's just visual board. But I think I was a bit stiff. And I think I was friendly and I loved it. And I learned so much, Gareth. And you know what? I'm just proud. I did
okay.
it.
Yeah. I mean, I know Dan Moyane from years ago when we were on radio together. He's pretty cool.
He's amazing.
Someone's asking here, what about Dan Corder? What's it? You poor thing, says Andrew.
So they're giants. They've all been doing this 15 years. I mean,
I didn't know who Dan Corder was until this year.
Oh, he's good though.
Is he?
He started on TikTok and then he's good. I like him so much.
I'll take your word for it.
So these people have been, I mean, Masego was a reporter before. I'm not going to say how long.
Yeah, yeah. They're was also on radio.
Mm, yeah. So, you know, just being there on their show and getting to know them, it was a...
Is it a fun kind of... Because morning shows can be amazing. Mm. They can also be very, very stressful and tense because people are up early and this one's... They had to rush the kid to hospital the night before and the other one's got some health problem and people are tired and people are grouchy and they haven't had their coffee and you know how it goes sometimes in the morning. TV's hard because you've got to look the part, not just sound the part.
Which
Radio's different,
right?
Which
is my favorite part, Gareth. I love the outfits. I love the hair.
You
I love
like
the
that
makeup.
Stuff. Oh, so you like the tarting up. Okay, that's fun.
I loved it.
And what did they make? Did they make you wear certain things or you choose what you wanted
yes,
to wear?
They bought me a wardrobe.
Okay.
So it was very professional. We can't be full Solania court rookie.
Not sexy stuff? No,
it got sexier over time because I liked it.
No, so when I was talking about having a weather girl, those countries that I mentioned, they have, find examples of like the weather girls in Italy and Spain.
Greece.
Jeez, and Greece. There's one chick in,
Have
you seen that chick?
I have.
She's fantastic. All right, now that, you want ratings, right? You stupid TV shows. Let me help you out here because it just doesn't seem these guys ever listen. What was, back when TV was a real powerful thing, like at its height, okay, let's take the early 90s, which were the highest rated period in television history. Yeah. What was the number one show? Baywatch.
Yes.
Okay, there was nothing else came close, not soap operas, not the TV news, not late night talk shows with comedians and celebrities. The thing people wanted to watch was people in swimming costumes, okay? This is what they wanted to see, particularly Pamela Anderson at the time. She was the biggest star in the world.
Okay? I want to be Afrikaans Pamela Anderson.
Right, there we go. You're on the right track.
Thank you.
And then
I'll take it.
These dumb TV shows and the people who commission them, they think they can, I don't know, impress people with very, very smart content or they're going to get influencers on or whatever. Just put an attractive woman who's got brains enough to read the news, right?
Brain
I mean, you know, I might be horrible, but you don't have to be a rocket scientist.
I don't have to be a rocket scientist, but
personality. And you also don't.
Personality is important, and I know I have personality.
And personality counts, sure, but you got to read some temperatures. No one's watching the weather going, oh, I better write this down. You know what I mean?
That's so brilliant, it's true.
You put people, and then let these people be entertained. Most people who are still watching TV are very old. Because the audience, the average age of the audience, I heard, you know, Stephen Colbert, who does The Late Show, they've canned his show, right?
What is his age?
He's in his probably 50s or 60s. He's not young.
Viewership age.
No, this is the thing. The average age of his viewers is 68.
Crazy.
Those are the people watching that show now. So most of these people are like, they're on their last legs, right? They're in their 70s, they're 80s even. They're sitting there. They don't know whether they're going to wake up tomorrow. So give them a nice weather girl. Make their fucking day.
Oh.
Am I wrong?
No, you're right. But you know what is cool? I can say I was a weather girl. Like that is out of
a lot. Yeah, I think that's awesome.
It really is.
Maybe you'll be the last weather girl in South African TV.
Maybe. You never know. But you know what?
They haven't replaced me.
No. But let me tell you, like, in my life, I just strive to do as much as I can. Oh. And I've just... This one I'm proud of. My parents could not believe I was on the damn news. Like, I can't tell you. It really... Okay, but let's talk about the work environment.
Yeah.
Look, these editors are researching the whole day. The people who are actually writing the show.
Sure.
They work really hard. That was cool. That was cool waking up every morning and sitting amongst people that take their job very seriously. And I felt a sense of urgency to be better.
Okay.
And I do, like, if any of them are listening, like, well done, guys. Well done. I admire them as well. Like, the work ethic in that building is unmatched. So yeah.
Was this at ENCA?
At ENCA.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah, I did a show there for a little while.
I know. Well. I told them.
I can't say I enjoyed it, but
yeah,
maybe I've got a different... I just don't like TV.
Yeah, you like to talk.
I like radio.
You watch Netflix and like stories and... When are you going to produce a movie?
No. So let's talk about your movie. I'm never going to produce a movie. I'm not that. No. Bluthorn, which we had Rian van Heerden on here for, he told us about the movie before it came out. And I think you guys have seen it, right, James, Flex? We did. Did you ever watch it? A little bit of it. Don't talk shit. You either watched it or you didn't. This was an Afrikaans horror movie, but in the old horror vibe, right? And I remember Rian telling us about it. And, I mean, it's actually very entertaining. He jokes about it and says it's not a serious thing. It was just something fun. But that's also cool. Like, you wanted to be a weather girl. He wanted to produce a movie. And this movie is all about these, like, inbred, weird people who live on a farm. And then... You are.
I'm the girl that. Can I give it away?
Yeah,
like,
go.
Are we just going to.
You can
go
tell.
For
no,
it?
No, people. I mean, if they
so
haven't
you know,
seen
in every
it,
horror
watch...
movie, there's a pretty girl that dies.
You're the one.
That's me. Yeah. And just like I said before, when I got this casting, I wanted
and you
that
don't
role.
Die, you don't die in a nice way.
I don't die. No, I get stabbed through the head.
Right.
It was so funny. I was practicing this in the bar. Getting stabbed through the head. This is like a week before. But how do you know Rian? I want to know this.
So first. we were at Varsity. I was at Varsity. I was studying law.
You guys are like
law.
Besties.
No, so I've known him. He gave me my first job in radio.
Oh.
And this was in university. I was studying there with him. Well, we didn't even know each other. And then I went to the radio station, and he was the guy who auditioned me and said, you should be on the show.
Isn't
so
that beautiful?
He gave me, yeah, so I've known him for 26 years or so.
Sure.
That's a long time.
That's very cool. Rian.
He's a talented guy.
Well done. He really is.
Yeah.
But he has an energy. He has a presence. When he's there,
very
like,
funny.
He is. But, I must say, just working with him, like, I wanted it to get it right. I wanted it to be good. And I wanted to impress him.
Was he grumpy or was he easy to work with?
Well, it was quite a hectic set to be on. I'm not going to lie. Like, the man was running around, but he was very professional, you know. And he was good to everybody that was on set because it was a massive set. Like, a set's crazy. But I do know what he said on the show was he didn't understand why there's so many people standing around working on this project. But that's how film works.
And
you have to pay all of them.
Every second of time you're there is costing... money and like he financed the thing, I think.
Yeah, there was a lot of fake blood. I think that was his biggest.
Right, so what's that like? Because I think most of us have some idea of what it's like to act in a movie, but we probably don't know how different it might be in a horror movie.
Look, I didn't have a lot of lines, I'll tell you that much, but I did.
You just had to scream and die.
So there was a lot of prosthetics. So let's start with that. So they actually had to make a body double of me. Mm-hmm. They actually had to take my body, make a whole cast of it, and because the body was getting destroyed after the character dies, right?
Okay.
So that was quite interesting, is watching your own likeness kind of just lie there. And there was a lot of characters... The other actors were very believable. It was scary.
But why did they have to do an actual body cast of you? Couldn't they have just used some mannequin?
No, because they were gutting her and they were taking all of her organs out. And I had to be... So, okay, I'm going to say this. My mom is going to kill me.
Yeah.
I had a nude scene in the film. So I hypothetically, after Bluton killed me, they had to hang me up on a hook.
A meat hook. Yeah. In a warehouse.
So... In one part of the scene, it's the body double that's being gutted. And then in the other scene, it's actually me, because you have to have the full visual of what's actually going on. Otherwise, it doesn't make sense. So I was hanged up there for like 2 minutes. But that was quite hectic because I'm hanging.
And now you don't have any clothes on.
No, I had a little brookie on. Okay. It was so funny. I asked them, I was like, are you guys going to give me a merkin? Do you know what a merkin is?
A merkin is a fake pubic hair wig for anybody who's not sure.
I was like, are you going to? No. Anyway, it didn't work out that way. There wasn't budget for the merkin.
That would have broken the budget. It would have been a merkin that would have made it impossible to make this movie.
So,
okay.
But on a serious note, though, hanging from the thing, Blue Dawn comes with a knife. He's coming around you. But I'm really hanging. So my hand got caught up in something. And Garrett, like, I've never done OnlyFans or porn or any of that kind of thing. Like, this is my body, ne? Mm-hmm. I don't know why I haven't started, because I would have made a lot of money, but I just respect myself, you know? So I did. I'm hanging. Anyway, it gets hooked, and I instantly just start crying. Like, because this man in this mask is there. Mm-hmm. He has a knife. It got very real very quickly. There's a rape scene going on in that corner. There's blood everywhere. You in a shed. I know there's cameras and there's people. I have a what do you call the people that help you in a scene where you're naked? A coordinator, a central coordinator. I have one of them. She's there. But I broke down. I literally like, so I'm supposed to be dead. I'm hanging from the scene. They're like, Solonia, just, you can get through this. Hanging there, I'm supposed to be dead, and my body can't stop doing, like, you know, physically losing it. And I don't know what happened there. But we got through it. Everything was fine. Like, there was no issues or, but it was a moment for me that, remember I told you I stopped acting back then? Sometimes it gets a bit real. But I don't know if that's to do with the way that I act or that's what just happened on that set, but... You have to have a lot of mental health things in place. A lot of, you have to have tools.
Yeah, I mean, what? How did you feel afterwards? What happened?
No, I cried. It's so weird.
Was it the fact that you were like?
I got scared. I got scared. It was too real.
You got scared by the horror movie, by the fact that all of this was going on, or was it also just all of these people around,
and
you're expected to just hang there with no clothes on?
And there was blood. I got a big fright. But the scene was done, and I did my job, and I can do it again now. Like, weirdly, now that I know how hectic it can get, I'm like, put me in the ring, you know, for a serious role. Because everybody thinks I'm an idiot, but I promise you, bring me a storyline.
Who thinks you're an idiot? I mean, just what, because you're an actress?
I know, because of this.
Yeah, all right.
But I do that. Like, I play that character.
Sure.
Yeah, of course.
Okay, so when people meet you for the first time, like this is the first time we've met.
Yeah.
Do you worry that they think that you are a blonde bimbo?
No, I don't care. I just don't care. I know who I am. I know how friendly and kind I am.
Do you mean that? Because people say they don't care. But I mean, you're making fun of it either because you genuinely don't give a shit or because that's just how you've learned to deal with it.
Yeah.
You know, I have people who I don't know at all saying something to me when they've never met me before. First time they met me and they're like, oh, you're an asshole. You said this or whatever. Doesn't happen often. Most people are very nice. But then I think...
What do you think of first impressions? Like, do you think you should trust first impressions?
Sure, this is what I'm asking you. So does it bug you that the first impression someone might get?
No. No. Bubbly. You know, like, I don't know. I know I come from a good place. You know, I'll never walk in and just be like, rude.
No,
I am always kind, and my impression,
I'm not asking you about your own confidence. That's clearly not a problem.
Yeah.
Which is a good thing.
Thank you.
But what I'm thinking is, if you're a weather girl,
yeah,
or you are, I mean, the first thing they will think of you, you mentioned first impressions, is, oh, there's that girl from Op My Aish.
Yeah.
Or if they saw you on the movie, they'd bring that up. Or if they saw you on TV doing the weather. Or if you, you know, end up doing Miss South Africa, that could be the thing that people remember.
Everybody remembers me from Op My Aish, which is, at first you would think, oh, you don't want to be known from a reality TV show. But how I was in that show, how honest I was, and how badass, I suppose,
I was. What did you tell that audience about yourself? What did you, when you say you were honest?
About relationships, about me being the person that runs away in relationships. It was that kind of, my story or my truth on that show was, I would like to be here to see if I can actually commit to being in a relationship longer than 2 years, because I've always been a runner, you know? And that was cool, because a lot of girls are like that. But I'm, I don't, what is the question?
No, I'm interested. You said you were being honest on the show, and that might have been a problem for some people.
Yeah.
But have you ever had, even if it was only for 2 years, a relationship that was really cool, that you were happy in?
Yes, of course. Yeah, no, I have. And you?
Also about 2 years, Ham.
Is it?
Yeah, I was the longest.
Yeah.
I mean, I had four really good relationships in my life, and they were all great, but, you know, they lasted as long as they needed to last.
As they needed to last.
And I always think it's very sad when people who've been together, whether it's for a couple of months or for 20 years, where they think the relationship is a failure just because it ends. Because everything ends, right? I mean, some things are only meant to be for a couple of months, and some things are meant to be for decades.
Yeah.
I mean, if you've got kids with somebody, they're going to be in your life for a very long time.
Yeah.
You can't just say goodbye and move on. And everybody understands that. But when it's a relationship and there aren't any kids or there isn't marriage at the end of it, they go, oh, it's a failure.
God, I'm so scared of you. I'm so scared of getting divorced.
Really? Why would a divorced you be less valuable?
Not less valuable. I just don't want to go through that.
Why? I mean, it's only number 5 on the list of shit things that can happen to you.
First one, being having kids.
No, some people really want to have kids, and some people are very good at it. No, so the things are... death in the family, or death of someone you really care about.
Yeah.
You know, and the closer that person is to you, the worse the experience is for you. The second one is moving house, or being kicked out of house. You know, anything to do with not having a home. The third one was public speaking, which you don't have a problem with. The fourth one is, what was the fourth one? I think it's like
financial.
Pain, or it's something, you know, it's not even financial. And then the fifth one is divorce, and then finance is much further down the list. I mean, I might be getting it slightly wrong, but why are you worried about divorce? Is that, would divorce be shameful for you?
No, I just, no, not at all. I just come from my family, everybody in my parents and that have been divorced, and I've just seen what it does to people.
Everyone's just divorced.
Everybody's divorced, and I just, why even get into that anyway?
Okay.
But I don't know. Why are we going down this tangent?
No,
we're talking about Bluto and me hanging naked from around.
No, we weren't. We moved on. We were talking about...
Okay. I just want to say about Bluto.
Relationships.
I just want to say, before we move on, I would do it again. I learned a lot in that moment, and I would do it again.
What,
and
the show?
From Bluto. And I just want Rian to know, thank you. That was a badass moment.
That's
okay, let's talk about divorce. Do you want kids? Do you need kids?
You know, I'm not closing the door.
Yeah. I think you'd be a great dad.
Yeah, but I've got to have kids with the right woman. Because if I think of some people I know, some of whom I really have a lot of time for, and some who I've only met in passing, and they end up having kids with the wrong person, and then that's a disaster for the kids, for them, for whoever, you know, the family, for everybody. It's just a mess. You've got to be super careful, because I think there are a lot of people who they want a kid to save a relationship, or they want a kid because it's their ego busy trying to make more of themselves effectively. And I've always said that I have the world of respect for people who adopt, although I don't know if I could do that. And I don't think I could take on another man's child if I fell in love with a girl who was, you know, in a previous relationship. So it's complicated, but I'm not going to say it's impossible. And I'm not closing that door. What's your idea? How old are you now?
I just turned 30.
Okay. Yeah. So you just turned 30. So, I mean, like, you still got a good decade ahead of you before you dry up like a prune and you can't have kids anymore.
I am fertile.
No, before you turn barren like Sarah, Abraham's wife in the Bible, you know.
I will adopt three Chinese kids and I will call them Vikas, Wouter and Werner.
You see, that's child abuse. This is why you shouldn't have children. Okay, but you want kids.
I do. Okay, can I tell you something else that I do? I am a gymnastics coach. I think it's up to 50.
You can only say you're a gymnastics coach if you stretch your leg out like that again. There we go.
Do you want me to do a cartwheel?
Good. I'm kidding. No, we can do a cartwheel later.
Listen to me. So I love kids. I work with them. I teach confidence. I work for Johannesburg Gymnastics Center. I mean, my boss has Olympic athletes. She was my coach when I was younger. Respect her so much. So this is how...
Why do you bring her up?
You've got to have a day job, you know?
Sure.
So I work with children. They call me Coach Barbie. So I have a knack for working with kids. They love me. It's bright and it's sparkly and it works. And I get them to do amazing things.
Right.
So, look, if I don't have kids, I know that I would have done my job. You know, I would have... spent enough time with the youth.
Sure, of course, but you want kids. I mean, listen, I'm see...
I'm scared of what I create. It's going to be a crazy, crazy little human being.
No. I mean, that's the lottery.
Ding, 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 ding.
No, but that's the lottery, and you don't know. You can end up... You know, any parent tells you. Yeah. Even the ones who, after a couple of drinks, they're being deadly honest about things, they will always say to you, this is the best thing I ever did.
I know, I want that, but am I allowed to say that?
Sure. You could say whatever you want. I told you. The whole point of the show is you say whatever you want. So that's what you want, do it. But for God's sake, don't just do it because you want the kid and then you end up having some terrible guy in your life who's like either a deadbeat dad who doesn't contribute at all. Because what we do know, and I mean, this is where a little bit of psychology mixed with a bit of social anthropology comes in. But what we do know is that kids need a mom and a dad. Okay, and I mean, that's not possible for everybody because shit happens, right? Life is not a zero-sum game. And for some people, they drop out at some stage or something terrible happens. Nobody's life is perfect. But if you can have a mom and a dad, the child has a much better chance of having a great life. So just find the right guy to have the kid with, and then you'll be okay.
Yeah.
You know?
Thank you, therapy.
No. It's a worry. Yeah. I see so many people doing, Congo Chris says make Gareth do a cartwheel.
Oh!
It's not going to happen.
We're going to do a back bend. Back bend is.
Okay, and then we've got here... Carl, Gareth, your window is closing for kids. You need to start pumping now. You have 18 months left, buddy. You're old as fuck.
18 months,
all right,
buddy.
Thank you. Gareth is too old for kids, says Common Sense. Divorce is close to death, says Judith. So she agrees with you that divorce is very bad.
Yeah.
So you said your parents got divorced.
Yes.
Do you have a relationship with your dad?
Yes. Love him.
Okay.
And my mom.
And your mom.
Yeah.
Because you said that your mom's still very involved. She paid for your studies and
a bunch
of other stuff.
She's from Zimbabwe.
Okay.
So my family's from Zim on that side. My dad lives in Durban. I understand why they're my parents. It's so weird. My mom is gorgeous. She's a businesswoman. She's a badass. She's kind and soft.
Mm-hmm.
My dad is a lunatic.
Okay.
And that merged together. No, he's also a cool guy. But let me tell you.
I think lunatic's a compliment.
It's so weird. Your parents, it makes sense why you are the way you are. But I love and respect them both for who they are and their choices they've made. And I'll never be the kind of kid that cuts you off. I just can't do that.
Where did you grow up?
In Joburg.
Joburg.
Yes.
Okay. And brothers and sisters?
Only child, mom and dad.
Okay.
And my mom got remarried and my dad. And with them, I got 5 step and a half brothers and sisters. So I had to learn how to share. very quickly.
That must have been painful.
And I, yeah, actually, no, and they're all, yeah, no. But no, yeah, I had to not fight for attention, mm-hmm. but I think that's why I'm so loud and I do all these things is you want to stand out. But being an only child also, it's a good thing.
But Bitcoin Butt says gymnastics, relationship, butchering, I'm confused. Oh, no, sorry, that's Vyasin.
Oh, he's confused.
Yeah, he's confused. I'm blonde. Sorry, this is Nunya now. Ex blonde, in my tita is rond. Yeah. That's a nice song to sing. Turn that into a hit. I think that could be a major treffer if you just put it together properly. You know, if you get the right, all you need is the right producer. Isn't everyone in Afrikaans now a musician?
So I'm dating a musician.
Okay, yeah. Who is it? Someone we would know?
Do you know the band Van Pletten? You don't? Okay, well, my boyfriend is a DJ for Van Pletten. Okay. Yeah, he makes beats, very cool.
And how long have you two been together?
2 years.
Wow, okay. Yeah, so this is the longest you've got.
It's working. It really is. And he's in the creative field and he's sober, which is something I really respect in a man. Yeah.
And do you drink?
Every now and then.
Okay.
Yeah, not like I used to.
Yeah, you've got
to
be careful about these sober people, though. Either they are, Muslim
sober?
Extremists.
Do you drink?
No, hang on. Let me
you don't look
this
sober,
point.
Guys.
You've got to be very careful about these people who don't drink. Either they're the Muslim extremists, the kind who like fly a plane into a building or something, yeah. Or they are former alcoholics who have a major problem with alcohol, so they're always making it awkward for everyone else.
Yeah.
Or
preachers.
Or the worst ones of all are the ones who've I don't drink. No, and you're not going to persuade me. And South Africans, I just don't know that we have any idea of how to have fun if we're not drinking. And I don't mean you have to get shit faced. I just think that South Africans don't know what to do with their hands if they're not drinking. Yeah, they've got to have a drink in one hand.
Yeah, Gareth. Some people need to be sober. Like,
what, the ones who have health conditions?
Some people that, like, sobriety has kept them alive.
So is your boyfriend sober because he's had a problem in the past?
Yes, definitely.
Okay.
No, but I think he grew up in the music scene because I think if you do grow up on the jewel, you know. So, it's just something I'm proud of. I really like that about him. I don't have a type of guy that comes home drunk every night. You
no,
know?
Hell no.
I don't have the
and
kind of guy that makes
like
fun of me when we're out at the pub and he's giving me, you know, problems because he's lit. I don't know. Does that make sense?
With you. He's not. Of course it does.
Yeah. So no. I like that about him. But yeah, he does work in the music world. They
Conga,
travel everywhere.
Conga Chris is giving me shit here again. He says, Gareth, didn't you quit drinking? Yeah, and I told you. It was the most boring 3 months of my life. Not because I was struggling not drinking. That was easy.
Yeah.
It was the drunk people. You're sober, the drunk people are terrible.
I agree. Totally agree.
New show idea, Gareth Sukafro, says Mike Hunt. I like your name, Mike Hunt. All right. And then drinking culture is dead, Gareth. 4 clubs close every week in London. Yeah, all right. This is something I'm actually very concerned about. And it came up in a funny video. Which I think I sent to you, James, the other day. We may even have played it on the show already. This guy was talking about how isolation is a way bigger problem than alcoholism or drug addiction. Because they worked out in America, I think it's between 6 and 10% of people in their 20s in the U.S. are alcoholics or drug addicts. Yeah, it's still a lot, but between 6 and 10%.
Isn't that a lot?
I think that's a lot. Call it 10%. It's a huge number,
that's a
right?
It's a huge number, yeah.
But they reckon 28% of American 20-somethings are addicted to their phones and in a way that they spend more than 4 to 6 hours on every given day. And that's during waking hours before they're not lying at home scrolling. This is while they're meant to be working or doing actual other things, driving, whatever it is. Mm. So this guy said, and he may be right, it's probably better for you, not that either is fantastic, but if you're going to have an addiction, let it be drinking, because at least you go out and meet people. At least you interact. At least you can talk to someone, look them in the eye. You can have a conversation. You can – maybe something comes out of it, business or a relationship or just fun, you know?
No. Garrett,
you think that's bad advice?
I don't think drinking is good. I understand the going out and being in public, but I think if you have a problem with alcohol, like, you need to really address that, because drinking, there comes a point when you drink, you live in guilt, you live in fear, you live with your addiction, you walk around with that.
Don't get me wrong, I'm certainly not saying addiction.
Being addicted to your phone, safest, coolest, it's fine. Like,
you
everybody
think so?
Is addicted to your phone. You stare at a screen all day, like, you're not gonna die.
I worry more about young people being.
What if you're like a fentanyl addict or like heroin or that?
Of course,
like, that's
it's terrible,
rough.
But the kind of people who get to that stage are beyond redemption anyway. Something's going to take them out, and they're going to choose something really terrible to take them out. But I don't get me wrong. I'm not saying, you know, addicting yourself to anything is good.
It's good. No.
But it seems to me like we don't know the long-term consequences of these digital addictions, the fact that people are screen befook. This is way more of a worry to most young people who are socially inept. They can't get jobs. They are incapable of basic human connection because they live in this virtual world.
I see that.
That's way more dangerous to me. That's frightening.
Yeah,
you say you see it a lot?
No, I see it with younger kids. Like, I have younger siblings. And the internet is their biggest downfall. It really is them just sitting on their phones the whole day and judging themselves. Like, the girls, I see so many young girls that are on the internet, but they're not even partaking. They just sit there and watch other girls being better than them.
Yeah.
And I think that is so unhealthy. Get off your phone, baby girl. Mm-hmm. Go to a class. Go do the gym thing. Right. Whatever you need to do. But stop staring at other people the whole day. It is messing you up. Anyway, but if you were... Do you think you're addicted to something, whether that be coffee or...
I've thought
hair
about,
gel.
So, it's not hair gel.
I told my hairdresser I wanted the Gareth Cliff blonde, but
okay,
she couldn't pull it off.
Well, at least you're not saying, well, what does Gord always say, that I have like Lego hair? I just clip it on in the morning.
What do you think is your addiction?
I don't know that I've got an addiction. I've never been interested in gambling. I have never been addicted to any drugs. I've never been addicted to any medication.
Are you a workaholic?
Never smoked a cigarette.
Although
we talked about how I've picked up.
Have you ever vaped?
I vaped, yeah. And this year I started, and it's not good.
It's not good.
But I know I can stop that immediately.
Yeah.
That's not a problem. It's kind of a thing. Again, it's a thing to do.
Yeah.
You know, it's become like a fun social thing more than anything else. But I probably could and should stop doing that. Apparently, you know, popcorn lung really terrifies the hell out of me.
Right, yeah. It's
Have you ever heard
thing.
About
no,
popcorn
it
lung?
It sounds horrific, and I think it's
so
a real
it's
thing.
Like when you breathe and it goes like popcorn in a microwave?
Yeah, I was sick last week, and I was like, oh my goodness, do I have popcorn lung?
So that might be one of them. As I said, I stopped drinking last year for a couple of months. I've proven to myself I can do that, and I don't really care if I've got a drink or not, but it seems to be the only thing that you can do socially in South Africa. And I don't dance or any of that stuff.
I'm sure you dance.
No. But again, if I'm very drunk.
I'm going to say you dance.
I'm interested, though, not in what you're addicted to, but this gymnastics thing. Is it true that gymnastics gives you the best body? That's what people say.
I think it gives you the best balance and coordination, and think it makes you... Not the best body. I don't think it's about the best body, because a lot of the gymnasts have problems with being bulkier, you know, being too strong. But ballet, I think ballet gives you the best body.
I don't know. I mean, when I watched the Olympics, it seemed to me that the girls and the guys who did gymnastics had like the most
shoulder
balanced
strength.
Body.
Yeah.
They were like, they weren't, you know, sometimes people, if they're doing... the discus or the hammer or any of that, they have to be these big monsters, right?
Yeah.
Girls and guys again. And then if they do cycling or running, they're always thin and they look a little
thin.
Bit weather-beaten.
No,
but
sure.
Gymnastics seems to get you the perfect amount of, like, balance. There's muscle, but it's not like overt. It's not revolting.
No, it's a lot
of... You don't
of,
look like a piece of
It is
meat.
A lot of shoulder strength, because, I mean, you're in a handstand the whole day.
Yeah.
I have always been strong because I was a gymnast as a kid. I was training the whole day. Got a bit much. Like, I missed school when I was younger, training. But it made me consistent. I think if you put your kid in gymnastics or any kind of sport, I suppose, builds consistency and a sense of...
So did you do all those things, the rings and the...
No, yeah, rings is the boys. So we have
what do the girls
floor,
do?
Beam, bar.
I've seen the and floor vaults. And beam and bar. Yeah. And then there's a lot of mattresses involved.
It's a lot of, yeah, but for safety. Yeah, so you have 4 routines. But it's hours of training. I mean, and yeah, so coaching it is a lot. You have to be kind.
So how old are these kids that you're coaching?
From the age of 4 up until 16.
Wow, yeah. Four-year-old?
Yeah, from 4 to 16.
Are the parents just sending them?
No, but then
we're
just having fun. Remember, then we're just jumping and learning how to land. And
it's not like...
But some of them are good.
Kampstaldraad.
But the flexibility starts from quite young. So if you can cultivate that, like, they can really go far. But I don't yell at them. I was raised... when I was being coached, you know, there's a lot of sitting on you and it was hectic. Coach methods.
What, like punishing you?
Yeah, when you like in splits and they have to sit on you so you can go deeper into your flexibility. I don't do
Sounds
that.
Sounds like child abuse.
Yeah, but to be that good, like there should be a little bit of pressure, you know, not child abuse, but pressure. So I don't know. I absolutely love
I have some disagreement here. Some people are saying, no, the best buddies are swimmers. Then, here someone says, digital addiction is way worse. This is Famous Mama. Yeah. She says, there is no sense of reality, no sense of how to comprehend anything. Okay. What about attractive women as an addiction? The older I get, the more I realize what a gift they are to the world. I have a gorgeous wife and I love her to death, but beautiful women are just lacquer, addiction unlocked. That may be a thing, hey? It may be a thing. I think
beautiful women, like in just seeing them online or seeing them in real life, or
no,
what?
I don't know if it's an addiction, but I can appreciate beauty. Yeah. Like when I see a magnificent painting or building or person, or I hear a beautiful piece of music. I mean, I listened this week to an interview that Bill Maher did with Billy Joel. Mm. Okay, so these are two old guys. They're both in their 70s. Or I think Bill Maher is approaching 70 if he isn't there already. Mm. And they're both tremendously experienced. There's really no ego. They sit down and you could hear Maher is just the biggest fan of Billy Joel's music. But they're not talking as a fan and a celebrity, as an artist. They're talking like two guys who are just reminiscing. Yeah. And I listened to this and then, you know, Bill Maher will bring up the lyrics. This is what a fan he is of any number of songs. And Billy will just kind of play it on the piano a little bit. Oh. And it, to me, it's just, that is such perfection. That's the kind of beauty I'm talking about. When you see a sculpture in marble, like so many of these great statues that you'll find in places in Europe, and you look at the amount of detail that they're able to get from chiseling away at stone, where it's so beautifully done that it looks like, you know, when the fingers press into flesh and you can actually see that in a sculpture. Mm-hmm. I mean, to me, if there is any addiction, like Carl DeSantis is saying here, I think maybe that's it. It's like beauty, mastery in proportion, in getting color right, in getting notes right, in making a building right. All of these things to me are just, and of course people, you know, if I meet someone who's just walks in and they just drop dead gorgeous, I'm like, that's great.
I appreciate it too.
And ugly people on the inverse, ugly people are like an insult to God, right? Isn't that true? I mean,
they can't help it.
They're just horrible. They ruin everything. You can almost see the smoke and sulfur.
Ugly people are valid.
Nah, they're not. They're not. Ugly people, it's just horrible. And I mean, I want to be the ugliest person in every room.
But like, you're not.
To me,
but
no. Hold on. I'm not looking for a compliment.
Do you think beauty comes from, you can be ugly, but if you have a good personality, you're still beautiful? Do you understand what I'm trying to ask?
You have to be super funny.
Yeah.
or you have to have tremendous personality.
Personality. Like
you have to just be
I think
amazing
personality
and interesting.
And any day. Any day.
You think personality trumps beauty? I don't know. I mean, I've...
Any day.
Again, the
Do you know why I'm a chubby chaser? Especially with guys. Like, these dudes that are these amazing, like, sculpted gods. I'm not interested in any of that. A funny guy is better than a good-looking guy.
So fat and funny.
Yeah, I'm fat. I used to always say I'm a chubby chaser.
Yeah, why? Why would you do that?
Because.
That's terrible. First of all, you don't. It's not really chasing because they can't really run.
Chubby chaser isn't the moiny.
But they can't run. They're fat.
No.
Okay, so Conga Chris says, beautiful women in media is a massive problem. Back in the old days, you'd see one beautiful woman in your whole life, paint her on the side of your fighter plane or bomber, and fight wars for her. I think you've brought this up before, but this is true. I don't think that's a problem. I think that's quite inspiring. Guys, don't be upset when she stands up and all we see is she's from the Plattland front and back. You know, Bitcoin, but this is this kind of objectification of women, which I'm sometimes guilty of. It's very unattractive, though. You've got to stop. Be better. Yeah. Like, be better, dude. Let's just see here. James, get ready for the weather update. Okay, the people are very excited about your weather update. She likes the dad bod ones, is what someone else says. Is that what you mean by chubby chaser?
I do.
Is your current boyfriend overweight?
No, he's not. He has a lot of tattoos, I'll say that much.
Okay. You like tattoos?
I do. I love tattoos. Have you got any? Yeah. Uh-huh. Which is a bit of a problem for Miss SA, but there is a rule. We're allowed to have them now.
You can put makeup over it. They won't know,
exactly,
right?
Exactly, yeah. But I do. I love tattoos. And the feeling of it. I would get so many, but my career
doesn't. So tattooed
flesh
feels different to you than...
No, man. It's the same. What is it?
Oh, on someone else.
On someone else. No, okay. I just think it's gorgeous. Do you have tattoos?
No, zero.
That's it.
Again, I'm getting more boring as I and if I didn't get tattoos when I was 20, I'm not going to get them now. A face tattoo.
Get your little daddy there.
The only people who get face tattoos are criminals, right? That's how I was raised.
Oh no.
In fact, I think there were only two rules when I was growing up because my parents were not massively strict. I mean, they, you know, obviously if you caused cuck, you got a clap. But there were two things that my dad was just non-negotiable on. The first one was, you will not ride a motorbike.
Yeah, it's important.
Because he said, if you ever feel like riding a motorbike, I will take you to the hospital and you can see all the people who have fallen off of motorbikes, had accidents, have lost fucking limbs.
Oh,
horrible,
advice.
Right? And the other one was no piercings or tattoos until you're 18 or 21 or whatever the age was. But I just never wanted any.
So you never got an earring, you never got
zero,
a nose ring, tongue ring.
I'm so boring, I promise you on that. You won't.
Missed out.
And the funny thing is that my brother ended up getting tattoos. He's 3 years younger than me. Yeah.
What does he do? Where is he now?
He's tremendously successful and serious. Like, he doesn't have a stupid media career like me.
I'm sure he says that about you.
I don't know. Oh. I mean, like, he's a proper, like, chartered accountant, works for a massive bank, does property deals. He's very impressive.
Okay.
Way more impressive than me. Yeah. It's not a competition.
It's not. That's the
But thing. I'm proud of him.
Yeah.
And my sister as well, very, very smart.
Yeah, I've heard you have a really good relationship with your sister.
Yeah, love the whole family.
She's
an advocate, yeah.
Okay. And you have a law degree.
Yeah, but I never finished my law degree.
Imagine you became a lawyer.
Jesus. God help us. Can you imagine me as a lawyer?
You would have been a very successful man. No,
you
would have. Yeah, definitely. Don't you think? I mean,
nah, this is as good as I get.
You in court?
No. I thought about it, and one of the reasons I quit law is because I thought this is not for me. Yeah. You know, and you feel like you can see yourself really succeed in something. Mm. And then in other things, like
it's
I could
a visual thing. You know,
yeah,
it's
going to
work.
I can't ever picture
don't.
Myself yeah. as a successful lawyer or a politician or any of those things. And some people, they try to project their shit onto you. That's why I asked you about the weather girl thing or the actress thing or the bimbo thing, because people are projecting their shit onto you, mm. right? But if you can't see yourself doing that except as an experience, mm. like being a weather girl is cool. I agree with you. For 6 months, you can say, I gave this a go. I was probably the last weather girl in South African history because there aren't any more of those. Have you got a picture of those weather girls yet for me? Okay. No, I meant the ones, the overseas ones. Anyway, we'll get to that. It's 7 o'clock. We got to take a break anyway. We'll be back in just a moment or two. Don't go anywhere. Well, Gareth always struck me as the tramp stamp guy with the tattoo in the small of his back. Thanks, Slippery Pickle. That's great. That's nice. All right. While you're taking a break, making some coffee or whatever, have that picture in your mind. Tramp stamp me. How exciting.